You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
3:03 in Eastern Iowa, we welcome you to the Gym Class for this Thursday here on KGYM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, and Andrew across the way as we've got a great show coming up for you. We are jam-packed once again today. Bob Asmussen is going to join us, covers the Fighting Illini of Illinois for the Champaign News Gazette. We will talk about Iowa and the Illini Saturday afternoon at Kinnick Stadium, senior day, and a big game in the Big Ten West. Iowa gets a win. They will represent the Big Ten West in Indianapolis for the Big Ten Championship. If Illinois wins, their hopes are still alive. So we will talk a little football with you. Also, Kevin Lehman, the coach, our Off the Glass segment will come up in about a half an hour or so. We'll look back in Iowa and Creighton and talk college hoops from a beach somewhere a lot warmer, although not much warmer than it is here. It's not a bad day in Eastern Iowa here today. Great to have you aboard here on 1600 ESPN, as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. And Mark, good afternoon to you. How you doing?
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. And yeah, it is a decent day here in Eastern Iowa, and the Cayman Islands being 2 hours ahead, we're going to talk to Kevin about happy hour time, huh?
Yeah, he may have a beverage next to him, which is fine. We don't ask questions. Andrew, don't ask him any questions.
No, I wasn't going to, other than maybe how are you doing. But
that is a good one. You can start there. Just don't ask.
No, nothing else.
You know, it's not like, you know, if you have a libation with you,
right,
when you're talking with us, that's fine. You know, as long as you haven't had 18 of them prior to that one. But
I mean, it's not like we have a camera on him right now or anything like that. So
no, he's on a beach somewhere. Yeah. So getting ready for that basketball tournament, and we're going to talk some hoops. We'll do that coming up in just a little bit. Text line available at 319-366-1600. That is always open and available to our great listeners out there. Again, 319-366-1600. That is our phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, 319-366-1600. Let's get to breaking news. As you heard at the top of the hour, Mark, from ESPN, the statement actually coming out about 5 minutes ahead of 3 o'clock Central Time. But there will not be a hearing tomorrow in the great state of Michigan. Jim Harbaugh is going to not be on the sideline again tomorrow on Saturday for Michigan against Maryland and for the game as Michigan takes on Ohio State. He and the University of Michigan Athletic Department, the University of Michigan et al., they have dropped their appeal of the punishment that was dealt to Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan football program. Surprised or not?
Moderately, I guess. I would guess that Harbaugh would very much like to coach against Ohio State. But he will then be able to coach in the Big Ten championship game if Michigan gets there. And I should point out that this is just the Big Ten situation. The NCAA still has an ongoing investigation into this, and that may or may not, you know, bring more news or not. But I would say moderately surprised that it was resolved, because I think Harbaugh was scheduled to be at the hearing.
Yeah, 9 o'clock, I believe it was at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, scheduled for. But as you mentioned, this is just the Big Ten that they've come to peace with. The NCAA, and again, we all know how the NCAA acts. You could have something come out over the weekend. You could have something come out in 2.5 years down the line that has nothing to do with anything going on if Jim Harbaugh is not in Ann Arbor. So who knows how this is going to play out? And yeah, it's going to
the Michigan-Ohio State game, yeah, is the big one. And the Ohio State game doesn't mean anything for Michigan if they don't beat Maryland. They should. We'll see. But I think Michigan wants to get this thing behind them and concentrate. If they can beat Ohio State and win the Big Ten championship game over perhaps Iowa, get them ready to go for the college football playoff.
Yeah, and in exchange, the Big Ten has agreed to drop all litigation against Harbaugh. So, yeah, and from the Big Ten standpoint, this is done. We shall see what happens with the NCAA. What was that, like 6 years before they ruled on Kansas and Bill Self?
Yeah, and probably will be the same result, by the way, that came out as far as Mr. Self in Kansas is concerned. 5165 in the text line, accepting a suspension sure sounds like an admission of guilt. Well, may have taken a little bit of a plea bargain in this situation, if you will, Mark. If you put it to non-sports ease, as far as judiciary situations are concerned. Let's just put it that way.
I don't know. Was it an offered plea?
Oh, yeah.
Or you admit your guilt or I don't know. I don't have the proper wording, but I know what it is when I see it, okay? Let's put it that way.
Nothing to do with Steve Alford either.
Not that I know of.
No, nothing to do with him. 3:10 here on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. A few minutes away from talking with Bob Asmussen about Illinois football. Speaking of Iowa, Illinois, last night, Kirk Ferentz and his statewide radio show on Learfield Sports did address the Cooper DeGene situation and added to it a little bit, saying that Cooper is out for the season. There will be no coming back for the bowl game or anything like that for DeGene. And we knew it was bad to begin with. There was hope. There was talk that a bowl game might be in the offing, depending on what bowl it would be for the Hawkeyes. But this basically put that to rest. And now what we have to look forward to is probably early in 2024, the decision that Cooper DeGene is going to make along with his family. Is he going to come back for another year in Iowa City, or is he going to get ready for the NFL draft?
Yeah, that'll be a topic of conversation for sure, because the draft boards that I've seen, for whatever they're worth, have him in the top 20. In the NFL draft. That was before the injury. Will he drop or not? That remains to be seen in the eyes of the NFL. But I think maybe a couple unanswered questions, and they're kind of irrelevant right now because DeGene is hurt. What people ask him, what were they doing in practice where a guy plants his leg and twists it and is out for the year? Was he practicing offense or defense? Again, it's immaterial because the guy got hurt. Many ways you can get hurt. But I don't know if those questions will ever be answered or they're worth asking.
Yeah, they're not going to be. I think that's going to be a big mystery as far as Iowa football is concerned. You got to practice. I'm a firm believer in that. Said on the podcast, which you'll have available coming up tomorrow morning, before the Boom podcast, that you can get hurt at any time in any practice. You can get hurt going to practice in a number of ways. You could get hurt stepping off a curb. You can get hurt in a lot of ways. That's just the way it goes. And it's a bad situation. And Iowa's had enough of those this year. To key personnel. And we'll see if they can get by another one. 319-366-1600. Matt says Harbaugh made a lot of money despite being suspended for half of the regular season. Yeah, and he's going to make a lot more money, too, if they make it to the college football playoff.
Is Matt suggesting he should have been suspended without pay?
Might be.
I think so, because You know, Harbaugh's not clipping coupons, okay?
No. 0818 says, so this means Jimmy knew he would lose or some dirty laundry was going to be hung out, so he went and hid under a rock. Yeah, you never know. You never know. Hey, every football program has its skeletons. Every program in athletics has their skeletons. Can we agree on that, Mark?
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
Some of them are bigger than others and worse than others. Let's just put it that way. Get you an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update coming up here in just a little bit. We'll talk about that and see what's happening. The Iowa High School Football Championship's going on. We've got one champion crowned, another one about to be crowned as they are in the fourth quarter of the Class A game up in Cedar Falls. And we'll get to that and more coming up here in just a little bit. But want to bring in our first guest of the afternoon here on the Gym Class program on 1600 ESPN. Bob Asmussen joining us here. Covers the Fighting Illini over in Champaign-Urbana. And he'll be making his way over to Iowa City in the next couple days for Iowa-Illinois. Coming up for Senior Day at Kinnick Stadium. Bob, thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Anytime.
Well, a very amazingly un-Big Ten West-like performance offensively for the Illini along with Indiana last weekend. We don't know what 40 points here in Eastern Iowa looks like. How did it look like in Champaign?
Well, it looked like a lot of balls in the air by one guy to one other guy. It was magical, really, for the guy. If you know the John Paddock story, his family, his grandpa, great grandpa, uncle, all played at Illinois. So that's a big deal. And two of them really good, all American type players. And he's here as basically a walk on transfer from Ball State, and he threw it for 507 yards in the game, which has never happened here at a game at stadium here. One player threw it for 620 one time in an away game. But this is the first time for anybody here at that stadium. A pretty special game by a guy that really nobody knew that was coming. It was pretty awesome to watch.
Bob, Illinois had an extremely solid defense, and that's been a forte, I think, for the Illini. But at least from the outside looking in, it appears to be underperforming this year. Is that the case?
I think somewhat. Last game and half, Jimmy Newton missed the half for the Minnesota game, which was a big deal. And the targeting call late against Wisconsin, that hurt them, hurt the team. He's back against Indiana, played well. The secondary, if you look at what they lost a year ago, they had a first-round pick, second-round pick, third-round pick, and an NFL draft. Those guys are all gone. Replacing those guys has been harder than they thought. I think the back end is a problem. I think the front guys are playing well. Linebackers, defensive linemen are doing a good job, but the back end is killing them. And they're being exposed. And also penalties have been a big problem. Untimely things like late hits and just dumb things that shouldn't have happened. So, yes, they're definitely underperforming, but I think there's some logic and reasons for it, too.
Well, Bob, let's go back to the quarterback situation. You mentioned that the great game that Paddock had the other day, but he's not going to be starting this week. According to Brett Bielema, it's Luke Altmaier's back. He is healthy again, and he's going to get the keys. What about that decision?
Maybe. That's what he sort of said. I would not count on that. I would count on, in fact, I think Paddock will start because I don't think if Paddock doesn't start, he'll be the first quarterback in the history of football to throw for 500 yards and not start the next game. So that'd be a bridge I wouldn't want to cross. But I the way Coach Bielema said it, left some room for interpretation. So I think you can say yes. He said yes. Altmaier is ready to play again. It's clear to play all that stuff. But and he's his quarterback certainly going forward. But I think Paddock won't be surprised at all if Paddock starts.
As you know, Bob, Illinois involved in 6 one-score games, has won 5 of those, but it's probably felt a little precarious for fans and the team, huh?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, and the game that got away was Wisconsin here. He flipped that score has Illinois won, they'd be not in the driver's seat, but they'd be in a lot better position in the West. They would be playing Iowa, basically to win the West. And they lost that game. They were up by two scores late and just kind of fell apart. And that game is puzzling. But, yeah, they've had blowout losses or close games, and they've won most of them, which is that's a good sign. That's a sign of a team that has confidence, plays well late, that kind of thing. They've done that a lot. But, again, Minnesota game, the way that ended, with this guy coming off the bench with no warm-ups, comes to the game, goes boom, 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 downfield, touchdown. It's like, did that just happen? And then next week, he comes back close for 500. Did that just happen? So you wonder what's next for this guy and that team.
Yeah. Still, obviously if Illinois comes over to Iowa City and wins on Saturday, still a chance to represent the Big Ten West over in Indianapolis. And I imagine that situation and that scenario has not been lost on the Illini.
No, I asked about that the other day, and they know there's a lot of things. Obviously, they'd have to beat Iowa, which is the first hurdle, huge hurdle. And they haven't won there since 99, so that's a long, long time. And then get a lot of help. So I think they want to just be in the ballgame, have a chance to have that happen. And that would start with a win against Iowa. It was obviously not easy.
Bob, any reaction over there to Cooper DeJean's injury?
Yes, and mostly sympathetic. Coach Bielema today was saying how much he liked him as a player, liked him as a person, and the players on Illinois' team. Obviously, you don't want to wish injury to anyone. Obviously, the game's easier with him not in the game, but you don't want to see a player of that quality. I'm an All-American voter for AP. He's on my All-American team, first team, and should be and will be, even though he's going to miss a couple of games. I don't care. He's played so well. He's been such an important player, obviously going to go play the next level. Probably be a really good player in the next level. So, yeah, I think that there's disappointment that they don't get to play against a guy that they know is quality.
Well, and what does that do for Illinois? They've got three really dynamite receivers led by Isaiah Williams, but Bryant and Washington are right up there as well. And got to think that's going to make things a little bit easier for the Illini passing game.
Oh, definitely. No question about that. And Isaiah Williams has been really good the last couple weeks. All year, but really the last couple of weeks. Pat Bryant's got a little bit of an injury situation. He got his ankle rolled on late in the game, had to leave the game, had a great game there against Indiana. But I think if he's healthy, yeah, they got a lot of guys. And they threw some freshmen in there. They hung in there pretty well. So I think, yeah, it'll be a good thing for Illinois to not have to face that guy. Certainly a lot more open names. But I assume, based on Iowa's history, they got somebody pretty darn good ready to jump in there and play right.
Have you got a feel for keys to the game, Bob?
Well, the main thing, of course, is can Illinois run the ball at all? I don't think they need to run the ball for 200 yards. I don't think they need that. But they have to keep Iowa a tiny bit off balance. They're not able to do that. If Illinois is throwing the ball a lot and Iowa's able to tee off, it would be a problem for Illinois. And it could be the offensive line would just come together for Illinois has played better last month or so, but they could still struggle a little bit at times. So if Iowa gets after Paddock or Hallmeyer, it'll be a tough day for them. But I think that running the ball for Illinois somewhat would be critical.
I would agree on that. And this might be your last trip, barring another expansion of the Big Ten. Let's just put it that way.
I like that.
Iowa, you will not be in Iowa City until 2028 again.
That makes me want to vomit. It makes me sick because I love coming there. My son, for you guys know, my son graduated from Iowa recently, the last couple of years. So I've always had to find this in my heart for that place. And not getting to go there, I love going there every other year. It's fun. I know there were good restaurants, so I'm disappointed. But I guess the Big Ten did what they thought they had to do, but it's a shame. Those two should play every year, but Iowa's got so many teams they got to play. And I get that. They got to play Iowa. I mean, they got to play Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Nebraska. I get that totally. But it's unfortunate that Illinois is not on that list for Iowa.
It is. And to have a border rivalry like that, not playing.
Right.
For a while.
Head coach went to school there, too. So that's kind of a big deal, too. He talked about his, you know, his time there. I think he loves the place. Obviously, he's here now. But he loves Iowa, loves his time there. So I think, again, that kind of adds to the whole environment when the teams play.
This game should be played in Prophetstown every year, right?
Ooh, don't mention, they may do that. I'm not sure what kind of stadium they have there, but that'd be a lot of fun. Or maybe they have Quad City somewhere.
Yeah.
We can do that. I'd be for all of that.
It's been a crazy year, to say the least, in the Big Ten West. I think crazy may be, I don't know, maybe that is too strong of a word to use around the country anyway.
Well, you had scenario last week at Northwestern beat Iowa. Wouldn't it have been a six-way tie or five-way tie for first place? Kind of crazy. Yeah, that's just not – maybe we should have expected this because there was no clear dominant team. I think people thought Wisconsin was going to be really good. I was kind of unclear about that because they were changing everything there. So if they had done the old Wisconsin system, yes, maybe they're fine. They changed everything. It's going to take some time there. I knew Iowa would have a nice team. 8-2 is honestly a little bit better than I thought they'd be. So congrats to them for shows you how good that coaching staff is, how good the setup is, how good the system is. And they really, you know, played really just one bad game, right, against Penn State. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Well, what percentage do you give Illinois to come over and win this game?
Let's go like 30%. They have to play well. They have to not shoot themselves in the foot. Don't have bad turnovers, bad penalties. That'd be but a 30% chance. I'm not sure what I'm going to pick. I haven't even picked that score yet. But I would have to favor Iowa just based on how good they're playing right now and how good their team is, even with the loss of Cooper. It's a big deal, of course, but I think they've got guys. They're ready to go.
Sounds good. I won't ask because I don't want to give a free plug out to many of our great sponsors in Iowa City. I will not ask your favorite restaurant down there when you come over.
Well, I can tell you, right, but it's a pizza place, if that tells you anything. That might be the tip off. Actually, it's funny. The head coach here mentioned it the other day. He said, go to this place. And I said, I'm going there already. I was already planning to go there. So there's a pizza place he likes and I like a lot. But there's others. There are 10 restaurants I love. So.
A lot of good ones. All right. Yeah. Safe drive over, Bob. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it. And look forward to talking again soon.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
You bet. Bob Asmussen joining us here. Covers the Fighting Illini for the Champaign News Gazette. And thanks to him for taking time to talk with us today. So he says it's going to be Paddock starting. Altmaier, I don't know. Maybe is Brett Bielema playing some mind games here with everyone?
I don't know. I'm not sure he knows which way to go. I mean, can you really lose your job because of an injury? I suppose so when your backup throws for 500. I think both will be available. Interesting that Bob had to say that Paddock would start.
Yeah, it's a Wally Pipp situation here, isn't it?
Well, it could be.
I think we're going to see both of them on Saturday. I really do. I think we're going to see both. And that's not if one plays poorly. I just think that they've got two guys, and I think Illinois is going to wing it with Cooper DeJean out. I think the game plan has been thrown out the window by Brett Bielema. I think also that you're going to see a little bit of maybe some trickery from Brett. He's done it before, not wearing orange and blue, Mark, but wearing other colors in the Big Ten.
True enough, and especially when you have a receiver like Williams, the leader in the Big Ten, one of the leaders nationally, you got to try to take advantage of him. But Iowa has a guy named Parker who might have a scheme or two for that.
You're darn right. Who's up for the Broyles Award, by the way, as the top assistant coach in the country. So that's Iowa's story. We talked with Rob Gray on Tuesday from the Gazette and Cyclone Fanatic, and Iowa State and Texas coming up. We'll talk about that tomorrow, as well as Iowa, Illinois, college football, pro football. We'll do that on the Friday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Iowa State coverage brought to you by Lisa Nolan Real Estate, and you can find her at lisanolanrealtor.com. Gamecocks.com and Iowa State and Texas. That'll be coming up at 5 o'clock on Saturday evening with a 7:05 kickoff. That will be senior night at Jack Trice Stadium over in Ames. Should be a good one between Iowa State and Texas. 0905 saying it takes Iowa quarterbacks 3 games to throw for 500 yards. Man, be happy Deacon Hill. Yeah, be happy Deacon Hill got over 200 the other day. We need to get to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall. They are next to the Home Depot. They are open at 4 o'clock, and you can take a look at their terrific menu by going online at emilshideaway.com. What do we got today?
First round play in the RSM Classic on the PGA Tour, the last of the year, event of the year. Delayed at the start, just now resuming after another delay. Zach Johnson on the course, he is 1 under par, actually now 2 under par through 15 holes in the first round. They play two courses, make the cut, and then move to one course for the championship. So Zach at 2 under the leader right now, Eric Cole and Mackenzie Hughes at minus 5. Major League Baseball owners have approved the movement of the A's to Las Vegas. Plenty of things need to be cleared up before that happens, but apparently that's one check off the checklist, so to speak, for the A's to move to Vegas. Webster City's Bob Howard, you probably remember him well at Signer Kyoto, is retiring after 47 years as a football coach in Iowa, one of the winningest of all time, 372 wins, 3 state titles at Signer Kyoto, 30 playoff appearances in all. It was announced today that Noah Shannon, in a great move in my opinion, will be the honorary captain for the Iowa-Illinois game, leading the Hawkeyes onto the field for that game. I think a great move there. And finally, up your alley, Scott, Ken Squire, a staple on NASCAR television coverage and in the NASCAR Hall of Fame, has died at age 88.
Yeah, Ken Squire was the kind of known as the first voice of NASCAR on television, especially on CBS. As far as network broadcasting is concerned, he had the call of the great fight between Cale Yarborough and Donnie Allison back in the day, the 500 won by Richard Petty. That put, you, a lot of people say, put NASCAR on the map as far as a national sport is concerned. And yeah, he will be missed. A very distinct voice and was a great storyteller, was Ken Squire. And certainly will be missed in the motor racing community as well as the broadcasting community as well. Finals going on at the Uni Dome. You mentioned Bob Howard, by the way, and the wing T spinner back. He was the guy and covered a couple of his games. When I think Mount Vernon, both of them, was playing over there at Signer Kyoto, and it was so difficult to figure out who had the ball. It was, yeah. Oh, man. Did the same thing up at Webster City. They had a great running back the last couple years named Jackson Cherry, probably going to be a D2 kid. I know a couple Minnesota schools are looking at him, and he had, almost 2,000 yards this year, or real close to it anyway, but some very, very good teams that he fielded, and he's going to hang it up at age 70. It has gone final in the Class A Championship. A last second, I believe it was a 50-yard field goal attempt by Woodbury Central, falls about 5 yards short. West Hancock wins the A Championship 30-28 over Woodbury Central. And then earlier on today in the 8-player championship game, it was Algona Garrigan beating Bedford 39-30. Coming up next, it will be in 1A, Number one, unbeaten Grundy Center, taking on number four, MFL Marmac from up in northeast Iowa. Grundy Center not too far away as well. And then tonight in Class 4A, number one, Western Dubuque. Greg and Epworth probably on his way over right now, or will be a little bit later on, at 11-1, taking on number two, Council Bluffs Lewis Central. They are 10-2. Tomorrow, 10 o'clock in 2A, it'll be Van Meter and Central Lyon, George Little Rock. 3A at 1 o'clock, Williamsburg will take on Sioux City Helan. And in 5A tomorrow night, it'll be Southeast Polk going for their third successive 5A championship as they take on Ankeny. So that is how things play out at the Uni Dome. We'll take a break, come back. Coach Kevin Lehman is going to join us, and we'll talk hoops with our Off the Glass segment when we return on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And clouds are going to be building in and the winds are going to be picking up out of the south. Temperatures are going to be sent into the low to mid 60s this afternoon ahead of a cold front. That front arrives tonight. It'll still lead to breezy conditions. A few sprinkles are possible. And then temperatures get knocked back as we head into tomorrow. Overnight, while the sky is clearing, temperatures will be in the low 30s tomorrow morning. And then even with sunny skies, we'll be held to the 40s tomorrow. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
Diamond earrings have bombshell beauty, yet everyday ease. They are equally comfortable, adding a touch of glamour to a formal gown or fitting in with your favorite jeans. Hertin and Stocker Jewelers understands this beautiful contradiction about diamond stud earrings. So they carry all sizes, in white gold, rose gold, and yellow gold. And because they've been helping people find just the right pair for so many years, the best thing they offer might just be their advice.
Perhaps that's why they've been voted top jewelry store in Iowa City for the 13th year in a row.
Whether it's a pair for you or a gift for someone you think is rather special, there is just no wrong time for diamond earrings from Hertin and Stocker Jewelers. So come see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Oh my eye. OAR.
That was a crazy game of poker. I see you in the back.
Live in concert.
I lost it all.
Summer Tour 24.
I want you. I want me. I want me.
September 4th, McGrath Amphitheater. With special guests, Wright and DJ Logic. Tickets on sale Friday at noon at creventslive.com. Don't miss OAR Live.
So why do I need vaccinations?
If I don't get vaccinated, how sick could I get?
Can I get multiple vaccines at once?
What's done to make sure vaccines are safe?
It's important to address your concerns about vaccines. Just make sure to get answers from people you can trust. Ask your healthcare provider about vaccinations, because they know you, and they'll always put your health first. Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Health and Human Services.
Choose family.
Choose friends.
Choose your community.
Choose local.
Choose local this holiday season for gifts or food, a deserving charity, or a place to keep your nest egg. When you buy from, invest in, or donate to businesses here in the corridor, you help keep our community strong and vibrant.
Choose local.
This message proudly presented by Recon Roofing and Construction, serving Eastern Iowa, the Monica Hayes team at LKR, Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, downtown Iowa City, and 1600 ESPN.
Stay ahead of the game with the WagerWise podcast on KGYMRadio.com. Presented by Betfred Sportsbook.
Back with you at 3:37. We'll get a Bowling Night in America wrap-up, a happy one for you. We'll do that coming up in just a little bit. But on Thursdays, we talk hoops. Kevin Lehman, the coach, joining us from a beach somewhere. Right, Kevin?
No longer on the beach, Scott. I am in the gymnasium. This is when the work starts. I'm here for
10 hours today and 8 practices.
Oh, man. Well, were you at a beach yesterday?
Yes, I was at a beach yesterday. I actually played pickleball for the first time with my girlfriend Madonna. She thinks she's pretty good at this, so she wants a rematch tonight.
So you go to the Cayman Islands to play pickleball.
Well, Virgin Islands.
Virgin Islands, I'm sorry.
Yeah, pickleball. Pickleball court, right? I haven't played it before.
What'd you think?
Kind of fun, yeah. It's different. But, you know, I got an artificial hip, got a few other things going, so I got to find something and exercise is a little less stressful than what I did before.
Yeah. Or just shoot some free throws and take after practice or between practices down there in the Virgin Islands.
Well, Mark knows I no longer compete in the Lehman Family Christmas because I keep getting lit up by my nieces.
You've always been a coach anyway.
Yeah.
Well, busy second week, if you will, of the college hoops season. The Gavitt game's going on right now, and Tuesday late night, Iowa and Creighton put on a pretty good show over in Omaha. 8th-rated Creighton and Greg McDermott getting the win. But I think that a lot of people in Eastern Iowa had their eyes opened up a little bit by the play of Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes. Your thoughts?
Good team. This is a really good team, and they can score in a lot of ways, as we saw. Here's what I like. Here's my takeaway. I really thought Perkins was good. I've been waiting for him to kind of have a breakout and take the game over. Tony Perkins with 16 points. I've seen Ben Cricke do what he did against Creighton for 4 years at Valpo. At Valpo, he was doubled most of the time because he didn't have very good guards. They didn't double him. I think I told you guys when they signed him, he's an old-school four-man that the Hawks are playing at five, but from 15 to 18 feet, Ben Cricke is deadly. Obviously, that first half, he did a fantastic job. Peyton Sanford getting hurt really slowed down the Hawks. That was very unfortunate for Iowa. And then the slow start in the second half, obviously, they had a hard time recovering from.
Kevin, Fran McCaffrey, among other things, talked about his freshman today. And, you know, I have different feelings about this. A freshman is a freshman, for sure. And they're going to a hostile environment is not like playing in Moline, you know. But these kids play so much basketball in the summer and, you know, start workouts in June, this, that, and the other. And Fran is very confident about these freshmen.
I really like what I saw when I saw those two games in Carver Hawkeye, and you know those guys are unfazed. Bryce Sanford, Freeman, Harding, Dembele. I was really wanting to see how they performed at Creighton in front of 17,000, and I thought they really showed well in that. You know, Hardy only with 8 minutes, but Freeman got in some foul issues. But you know, he gets 8 points in 13 minutes. They're one of the toughest places to play in America. And Dembele, that guy, he's a gamer now. He's a hooper. Big upside for those guys. I can see a lot of confidence with Fran. I'm not sure what he said today about him, but you know, he always talks very highly. And you've got to love playing for Fran McCaffrey because he really instills confidence in his players, especially his young guys. And they are encouraged to shoot the basketball when they're open. I really like the way that overall that those four freshmen performed in Creighton.
A couple of things that I was going to work on. We've talked about it. I thought this was not going to be a great rebounding team. I think they got out-rebounded by 8. And when Creighton went on their big run in the second half, the front court defense was just, they were slow getting back, quick shots. Fran talked about that today a little bit, and that really plagued them in that loss.
Well, one of the issues I think you're hitting on that we saw, Scott, is you know, Cricke struggled to run the court with Cockburner, and Cockburner got a couple easy runouts at the rim that they couldn't keep up with. So that's an issue I think you have to address The front line is not over athletic, although they are really skilled, highly skilled players with Kricke and Freeman and Dembele. So that's something they have to work on. And, you know, it's a team that runs, the Iowa Hawkeyes, so you'd think you would do that a lot in practice. But here's the bright spot of this. Rebounding team, yeah, I think we still have that question not answered yet. But, again, you think about this. They go into that arena, CHI Health Center, 20 assists on 34 made baskets and only 7 turnovers in that hostile environment. So this is what we see Fran McCaffrey's teams have done for years. High assist for a field goal attempt, low turnovers. That keeps you in games on the road.
Kevin, it's very early, as we know, but we've got a small sample size of play in the Big Ten. Any team or teams surprise you so far, for better or worse?
I thought Wisconsin's play against Providence, they looked slow and sluggish and really outmanned by a Providence team with, you know, Kim English in his first year. The ease in which Providence handled them really surprised me. And then I just thought it was, you know, a great opportunity for Illinois with Marquette coming here at their home court, and Marquette handled the Illini in that one too. So, yeah, a little concerned what I've seen. Of course, Purdue handled their business as usual. Michigan, I thought, is probably a better team that we gave them credit for earlier with the way they handled St. John's. Of course, you know, a lot of hype with Pitino at St. John's. But that's what I take away from it, Mark, just in those few games. And I was able to watch most of the Wisconsin game and all the Iowa game, but I didn't see a couple of those other ones. Of course, Rutgers over Georgetown was another one, and Purdue over Xavier.
Yeah. Tell you what, I don't know how it's going to end up. I think Fred Hoiberg's got a pretty good team over in Lincoln. I mean, they're 4-0, and they have not played Murderer's Row yet. I know that. But I think he's starting to get that culture in that he wants to see over there for the Cornhuskers.
I'm with you because, you know, I can't remember the guard he's got. The Japanese young man can really play. And, of course, Rink Mask from Bradley he had a double-double in that one game. So I'm with you. And I was with Fred this summer on that Coaches vs. Cancer outing we had in Omaha, and they talked about his team. You can tell when a coach likes their team. There's a certain vibe about them. You know, they're not giving you some BS, that they really think this is a good group. And I could tell Fred liked this team a lot. In fact, the day I was with him was the day they found out Ulis was not going to be eligible and couldn't go with him on their foreign tour. And, you know, he talked about his son quite a bit, and his son is really helping that Cornhusker team too. So I'm kind of with you. I think that's a team that's trending upward in the Big Ten. And I think Michigan's probably going to be better than we thought also, guys.
We talked with Rob Gray, beat reporter for the Gazette on Iowa State Sports the other day, and he had a lot of good things to say about a lot of players. This has not been a murderer's row, first three out of the chute for Iowa State. Doubt it will be Sunday against Grambling. But one of the questions I think Scott asked was about Omaha Bilu, and whether he's being brought along slowly or he just got to learn a little bit more. What do you think?
I'm glad you brought that one up, Mark, because I had that conversation with T.J. Altsenberger when I went to media day, and he said this to me. He goes, if Omaha Lou averages, I think he was 7.5 or 8 points and 4 rebounds, he goes, I'll be really excited about that. And I took a double take. I said, wait a minute, this guy's, you know, like top 10 recruit in the nation. He said he's going to play against grown men in the Big 12. And as you mentioned, they haven't played against grown men yet. But he says, you know, he's defensively, he has the talent, he's got to learn the system, he's got a way to go at the offensive end. So he had really lowered expectations. And we've seen that where he's not in the starting lineup. Shilovich has been the star of that freshman class so far. But that's a great observation with Ballou. I think it's kind of bring him along slowly. He said this guy is 100% invested in Iowa State because, you know, the question is transfer portal, if they're not getting big enough numbers. But one thing to say about Omaha is, you know, he had a chance to take that money with that G League elite team and didn't take a really good contract because he was committed and loves playing for the Cyclones.
Yeah. Speaking of the Big 12, Kansas, I don't know how they won that thing last night or a couple nights ago. I know Hunter Dickinson took it over at the end. 21 rebounds for Hunter Dickinson and threw points in there for Kansas, and they got by Kentucky. Doing Kansas things early on. The team that's gotten everyone's attention, and I was wondering why they were picked 12th or 13th in the preseason poll, BYU beat San Diego State at the Marriott Center, and Iowa State happened to be over there the next night for football, and they watched that game, and they said, yeah, BYU's pretty good, and they're really good at home. All they needed to do was give us a call. We could have told them that the Cougars are tough to beat over in Provo.
You know, that's kind of we talked a lot about Houston joining that league in the Big 12, and, you know, UCF is in a rebuilding mode along with Cincinnati, but BYU's been kind of under the radar. Scott, just what you're talking about. But they were told me this at the Big 12 media day. They said, the one thing about BYU, even when they play on the road, there's always a huge BYU contingency in that area is going to come to watch them play. And, of course, great home court. But I'm kind of with you. That's a program that we it's kind of been, you know, for years playing in the shadow of Gonzaga. But now it's in the Big 12. It's going to be interesting. And that's going to be a tough trip for Big 12 teams to head out there and play in Provo.
Kevin, the tournament you're covering, what do the fields look like there and what do you anticipate?
Well, I'll tell you what, we've had Fordham practice out of Atlantic 10, Missouri State here out of the Valley, Norfolk State. The women's is loaded. As I mentioned, maybe last time we have Colorado that beat number one LSU, and we've got North Carolina State who knocked off UConn, which propelled what the Hawkeyes to number two. I was surprised the Hawks didn't reach number one in that deal, but I guess Southern Carolina had some big wins in there. So the women's field is loaded. But I mean, here's what I'm seeing, Mark, on these NTE events. Maui is still drawing those Power Five teams, and so is Battle for Atlantis. So, you know, Northern Iowa's in that one with a really strong field. But these other teams, and I've talked to these coaches, they're not traveling outside the continental U.S. anymore for some of these events because their leagues have expanded, and the amount of travel that they have in league is going to be even more next year with greater expansion. They're trying to stay more stateside. You know, you got Iowa State going to Orlando to play. You got Iowa going to San Diego to play. So the event I have here is all mid-majors. Drake is at the Cayman Island Classic. It had Ole Miss, and they pulled out, and the other Power Fives pulled out also. So that's got all mid-major teams. So there's a little change in scheduling that I'm seeing happen in the men's side. It's not happening on the women's side yet for these types of tournaments in these what we call island destinations.
Interesting. Interesting. And maybe we won't see
as... Yeah, very, very, very interesting dynamic.
Maybe we won't see as many tournaments as far as the men's side is concerned. And Iowa State, they're going... You mentioned Orlando. Everyone's looking forward to a possible Iowa State-Florida Atlantic matchup. FAU number 10 right now. We know what they did at the tournament last year. That's what ESPN is hoping for, I know.
Yeah, I think right. And, you know, you got a pretty good VCU team that they're going to play. But you want to, we really need this Iowa State team to see some competition, really measure what they have. Kind of like we're waiting for Iowa. I thought, okay, we're going to find out a lot more about the Hawks when they go to Creighton. We're going to find out a lot more about the Cyclones when they go to Orlando and play in that field. The other half of that bracket's got Penn State, Texas A&M, Butler. But you're right. The matchup I think we're all waiting to see, Scott, is going to be Florida Atlantic against the Cyclones. Let's hope that happens in that championship game.
I hope it does. I hope it does. Well, all right, Kevin, we got a short week next week, so we may be in 2 weeks get back in touch with you after the after you're back. And, you know, nice suntan and everything like that. So we will look forward to it at that time. But have a good time down there.
All right, you guys too. If I don't talk to you before next week, have a good Thanksgiving. It's coming up here fast.
It is. Happy Thanksgiving, Kevin.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
You too. Kevin Lehman, the coach, our Off the Glass segment here on Thursdays on the Gym Class on KGYM. Quick break, come back, and we'll have a bowling night in America. Wrap up and wrap up the show and get you ready for Spencer on Sports when we come back.
Menards 11% sale ends Thanksgiving Day. Max has more than 1,000 shower doors, bathtubs, and showers to add style and luxury to your home. Save big money on beautiful Max bathroom solutions that will transform the look of any home. It's your last chance to get 11% off your bathroom update at Menards. Stores closed Thanksgiving, but 11% off remains in effect on Menards.com. Savings are mail and rebates. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Score all the action this football season with great deals from Vivid Seats. From college games to NFL, there's nothing like seeing every block, blitz, and big play of your favorite team live. Vivid Seats celebrates fandom with unbeatable rewards like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. With Vivid Seats rewards, you earn rewards with every purchase. From first down to final whistle, Vivid Seats has a great selection for all the 2023 games that matter to you. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN.
It's Wrangler season out there. T-shirt days, denim jacket nights. A pair of broken-in jeans you could live in. Open roads, endless horizons, no destinations. This is when adventure starts calling. And you need to be ready in jeans that are made for the unpredictable journey that we call life. Wrangler, for the ride of life. Shop our newest styles today at Wrangler.com.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym. And our Bowling Night in America wrap-up brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Wednesday night Bowling Night in America, and another very successful one for the Rusty Nails.
It was indeed the Rusty Nails with a 24-6 victory last night, and the Nails have maintained a 8.5-point lead in the Evergreen League, Diamond Edge. I'm making a push right now at this early juncture, but good night for the guys. 4-600 series for the team, led by Troy Beeler with a 687. One guy did not quite hit six. He was five pins short.
Yeah, I went 0-3. It wasn't Marcus, I know that.
Now, you speak of Marcus Mitz. He was started the night with 19 straight strikes, which means he had a 300 in the first game, and he also had high series at 788. Ryan Bundy right behind him at 784.
Almost caught him. Almost caught him there at the end. And Marcus, a fine Kansas City Chiefs fan. I must add that as well. If you'd like to inquire about leagues, if there are still some openings, you can certainly call May City. And also, holidays are coming up, so you can stop on by the pro shop.
Phone number 362-0136. And plenty of information on the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
Yep. Thanks to Tom and everybody, the entire staff out there at May City. Iowa women tonight will try to avenge their loss from a year ago to Kansas State. They will entertain the Wildcats at Carver Hawkeye Arena in Iowa City coming up tonight. We'll look back on that tomorrow. We'll talk about Iowa and Iowa State, the college and pro football weekend, and we will have the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6 for you. Chance to win a $30 gift card from Emil's as the panel will get together. I will try not go for 0-for. It's been an 0-for week for years truly, so we're going to try to get that turned around coming up tomorrow. And, Mark, have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon.
I will. You too, and talk to you then.
You've been listening to the Gym Class on KGYM. Spencer on Sports coming your way next.
You already know Prize Picks is the most fun you'll have this football season. But now you can play during basketball season too. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on the projected stats, and place your